Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Real quick before we get started, this is for all you diehard fans. We are releasing the show a day early on Tuesdays over on our Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. We want to thank all the Patreons who already help support the show. Your support means the absolute world to us. Again, we're releasing the show a day early. It's on Tuesdays, patreon.com/analogtalk. Enjoy the show, guys. Hey, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Tim.
I'm Chris.
And today on the show, we have Shannon Tomasek. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Shannon.
Hi. Hi.
Thanks for joining us today. We're super excited to chat with you.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
So can you, for our listeners who may not know you, can you kind of give us a background on yourself and how you got started in photography?
Yeah, it's hard to say when I got started with photography because it's something that I've kind of been doing forever.
I love that.
I know, I could relate.
Yeah, it's I've always felt a need to express myself with art, and photography was just one thing that I felt like I could do that, and it felt authentic and like it was what I wanted it to be. I was into other things too, like music, and I still am, but I always kind of feel like I'm copying someone when I create things that way. And photography feels like I'm making something that's me and authentic. So I really have just been doing it forever. And it's taken over my life a lot more recently within
That's
the
good.
Past few years. Yeah. And really, it's when I started shooting film, I started seeing it in a different way and really connected a lot more with it.
Don't you love that about film?
Yeah.
It just changes the game, you know? It really does.
Yeah.
So did you go to school at all, or is it kind of all just self-taught?
I did. I went to college for art, for photography, and I really loved it. I loved the people that I met and the experiences I had, but I kind of felt like it wasn't necessary for what I wanted to do. And I ended up dropping out of actually two different art schools. but it helped me realize that I was already doing what I wanted to do, and I didn't really need to invest all of this money into college, which is a lot of people spend a lot of money on.
Yeah, for sure. I was just having that conversation with a coworker last night about he's 18, graduated last year, and, you know, it's just kind of taking a gap year. He's like, yeah, I'm taking a year off to figure out what I want to do instead of. Thankfully, kids are becoming smart of not putting themselves in debt immediately into adulthood.
Thinking about it.
Yeah. And, you know, some people need the structure of school. That's what I was telling him. Some people need that to, you know, proceed with what their passion is and stuff. And then there's some people that are just like a wild horse.
Yeah.
That kind of just go and
over.
Do it. Yeah. And instinct is just kind of like it drives them. And, and I was just like, where do you feel on that scale? And he's like, you know, I don't know. And then it was a really cool conversation. And it makes me happy that people are thinking about that a lot more now instead of just like kind of the golden rule was, you know, you finish high mm-hmm. school, you go to college, you get a job, you do this. And it's changed a lot since, I mean, even I was at that time in life.
Yeah.
Crazy. Cool.
I was even surprised, like my parents were so on board with me going to like an alternative school. Like I went to photography school, and I mean, I guess it's like when you have a kid and they're like, this is the thing. This is the thing. It's like, you can't really stand in the way of that, no matter what it is.
Yeah,
I hear these stories of people like, oh, I wanted to be a photographer. I wanted to be an artist, but my parents made me go to law school. I'm like, what? Like, that sounds awful. I'm so lucky my parents were really supportive in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's so important. And I can relate to that as well. My parents, both times that I told them I was going to drop out of art school, they were supportive and they agreed that it was the right thing to do. So it's important to have that.
That's the best.
Yeah, for sure.
So what happened after you dropped out?
Was
this an easy road or was it a hard road?
It was, honestly, it was really easy. I never felt like it was something I had to think about or it was a big decision. It just felt like the right thing to do. And I didn't necessarily, I think I went to another art school because I didn't necessarily think still that it was okay to not go to college.
Yeah.
I still felt like I needed that and I needed to do something. But after, you know, realizing that I didn't necessarily need it to do what I wanted to do, I think that made it easier to kind of let go of that idea because, like you were saying, I felt the same that I had to go to college. That was the next step of what I had to do. Yeah. But it was easier to be able to focus on my photography, not focusing on school.
So how did you get to this point? How did you get to using film and doing all these amazing self-portraits on that you post on your Instagram and stuff? Like, how what brought you to this?
Well, it was really getting my first film camera. I had had a camera before, but never really learned how to use it. Didn't invest time into it. And I finally invested the time and learned how to use it. And it made me view it made me view photography as more of an art and slow down with things. And running the risk of sounding cliche, film really makes you slow down with things and think about it and be a lot more intentional with the way that you create. And I think that that has shaped the way that I wanted to make photos. And I've always made self-portraits and always been into that, but with film it really changed it. And now a lot of my inspiration for self-portrait work is sometimes I have an idea where it's like a specific idea that I have in my head and I want it to look this way, but usually 90% of the time it's just I'm not feeling good and I'm not having a good day and I'm feeling depressed and like I can't be a sufficient human.
Right.
And being able to take a step back and make something out of that, you know, feel the need to make something, it makes something negative into something a little bit more positive. And so I'm able to not just be upset about the situation I'm in, but make something out of it and hopefully, you know, get myself into a slightly better headspace.
That's so funny because anytime I'm like in an upset mood or if I, you know, I'm talking to my mom, she'll always be like, well, why don't you go out and take some photos? You always feel better after that. And it's like, oh, you know me so well, mom.
Yeah. But it's true. It's a great therapy. Mm-hmm. It works well for that.
I think that's the best. But we've talked about that on our show a lot. It's like for a lot of us, it's what keeps us centered or grounded or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, I love that too, because with your photos, you always, I was reading a bunch of your, like the paragraphs that you write underneath your photos, and it really goes together well. Like, I really like how you do that, the writing with it, because you feel, I forget what, I wish I remember what the words were in the one, but like everything you were writing was like how that photo was making me feel. And I was just like, man, you were on like a bathroom floor or something. And it was just like, so.
Yes. I know.
Yeah. And like, I've been there. I mean, I wasn't on the bathroom floor like that, but I've like, I felt that. And like, I definitely get where you're coming from with that whole thing.
Yeah.
And because, yeah.
Yeah, and that photo that you're talking about, actually, the words, I wrote that before I made the photo.
Oh,
and
okay.
I wrote the poem out and was inspired to make a photo from those words.
Mm.
So I love that you felt they connected really well, because that was, you know, the purpose behind that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Man. Yeah, for sure. I just love how that works. Like, how I wish I was better with words. I'm not a wordy person, I should say. I mean, I can talk fine, I guess, but when it comes to writing, it just doesn't come to me like that. And I wish it, I mean, that's kind of why I do photography. I can't paint, I can't draw, and I, you know, I'm terrible at writing. So photography is kind of my thing when it comes down to it. I can't express myself the way I feel in writing like I can with photography, but just to see your combo of that just, you know, makes me want to see more. I'm sure, like, your followers or subscribers or whatever we call them feel the same way. Like, I'm drawn into that. I'm drawn into, like, you take an image and you make a full story out of it, mm-hmm. like a whole feeling kind of thing. It's really cool how that works.
Thank you.
It brings so much more to it, you know, which is the hope and dream kind of thing, like, mm-hmm. of expressing yourself and feeling, and, you know.
Yeah, it's awesome. Is definitely.
So, Shannon, how long have you been shooting weddings? I noticed you have some really incredible wedding photography and as well as video, which I really like, because I used to shoot weddings as well. And, like, your video work is really, really cool.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I've been doing weddings for about 10 years now. And that really just started as people asked me to shoot their mm-hmm. wedding. And I turned a lot of people down,
sure.
because I had a point and shoot camera and wasn't, you know, set up to be photographing a wedding. But eventually I had a friend ask me, and I was like, you know what, I'll give this a try. I'll do it for free. Why not? She trusts me and wants me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. And I loved it. And it really, I loved capturing that love and emotion on a wedding day, and it stuck, and I just kept doing it and developed a passion for it.
How did the video stuff come about? Was that like
a package deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, the video stuff was more, I actually have been into video before I was into photography.
Okay.
I was really into video. As a kid, I made movies with my cousins and my sister all the time, and have always been into that aspect. So as I shot weddings for doing photography, I would here and there take little video clips just for fun, just for myself. And one time I decided to put all of those clips together and make a short little surprise wedding film. And people loved it. And it just, then it was the same situation with that. People just asked me to start doing that once they saw that it was something that I could offer.
Do you do that at the same time, or do you do that like separate?
I have done it at the same time before.
That's crazy.
But I don't anymore.
Yeah, that's like, I would, yeah.
No, now I have, if people want to hire me for both, I have a videographer that I use. So it's too much to try to focus on both of those things at once on a wedding day.
I could just picture myself, like, I would like want to do both, you know, because you'd want to mm-hmm. be in control of both, but then
exactly
like miss stuff because you're trying to be in control of both.
Mm-hmm.
But then like having somebody shoot it, it would still be like, okay, make sure you get this, make sure you I'm sure it's the same way where you're just like, okay.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely hard to, you want to be able to do everything mm-hmm. yourself and make it yours and your own touch. But yeah,
I'm shooting a show for this artist that I work with a lot, and they've asked me to shoot both. Like tonight, I'm shooting both, and it's hard to balance because you want to. I mean, I wish I had four arms because I can
you know, so you can get everything at once.
Everything at once, but. We'll make it work.
Yeah, because sometimes there's a good moment and you're like, do you want to
get
a
video
or
get
it on
video? Exactly. It's like torture almost.
Yeah.
Man,
that's really cool.
I want nothing to do with that. I used to do a lot of video work. I worked for like an online newspaper thing, and they would send me out to like country artist house and stuff like
that's
so
cool.
I'd film interviews and like B-roll of the house, and I really love video, but I have to be, for me personally, like I have to be focused on one or the other. Like if I'm, that's why I kind of like tapered down on my YouTube for a while, because I just was getting way too unhappy with my photographs because I was more focused on the video stuff. And I'm like, man, these photos are kind of junk. And I love photography and I want that to be kind of my thing, not video, because video, I mean, I love video, don't get me wrong, but it's like photography is my thing, not video.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's tough. I would hate to be, you know, there's like an angel and devil on my shoulder when it comes to that, that aspect of things. It's like, do it. No, don't. But yeah, I don't know.
I was just going to ask you, you mentioned the when you first got a film camera, that's when the game changed for you. Which camera was it? I'm just curious.
I was going to ask that.
I was like, what was it?
A Canon AE-1. Yes. And it's still the same camera that I use now. Not the exact same one, though. I started off with just a normal Canon AE-1, and it was great. I loved it, but it ended up breaking, and I couldn't fix it, and it was too expensive to fix it than what the camera was worth.
Right.
So I just got a new one, but I ended up getting the program for the second one. And I honestly love it so much more just because the viewfinder is easier to see through and makes it easier to get shots in focus. But yeah, that's really my main camera and the one that has worked and just sticks.
That's great.
Yeah.
Do you shoot some film at your weddings?
I have before, but I don't offer that really.
Right, right.
It's just, if I do, it's just something for myself that I want to get. And obviously I'll give that to them too, but yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of hard to pull personal work out of like a paid wedding gig like that. I mean, you can, especially if you know the people. I would see it be a lot easier. Like the one wedding that I shot a million years ago, like I tried to grab some like personal film photos and those were my favorite, but it didn't make a difference to them at all. Right. They were just kind of like, I was like, oh, and these I shot with my Mamiya on Tri-X. And I'm like explaining it to them. And they're just like, oh yeah, these are cool. Right. I really like this picture of like Aunt Sarah dancing though. Yeah. And I'm like, no, but look at these. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Man, so you mostly shoot 35 then? Well, you only shoot 35 millimeter.
Yes, is that
okay, cool. Yeah, that's 35 is the best. I love 35. I mean, medium format's fantastic for detail and crazy big stuff, but there's just something, it fits the style of your Instagram profile and stuff too. It just works.
Yeah.
I'm like super jealous of the people who shoot one format, one camera.
Oh yeah.
You know, like life must, well, compared to like us, you know, we've told stories about like, I'm going out. Let's grab six cameras. Like you just have the one and that's what you're going to do. And that's what you're going to make your art with. And I'm so jealous of that.
I have recently gotten a couple more cameras. I got a Polaroid and that's been fun.
I thought
and something
so. I
different.
Thought some of your photos looked like they were Polaroids. I was going to ask that, but then,
Yes.
That's great. I love Polaroid.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Yeah. I love the softness to it. It's very dreamy and I love it. Something different and fun to play around with. And then I also got a point and shoot camera that's just been a fun, like random here and there thing. And I'm always honestly really surprised by the photos I give back because I'm not super into it and not necessarily the same way I shoot with my other camera, but they always turn out cool still.
Love that.
I love it. Yeah. It's like Chris was saying, like I can't even leave my house without, I take 1, 2, 3, 4 cameras with me every time I leave the house. And it always changes. It's funny though, but I always have a Polaroid and I always have a point and shoot and then like whatever SLR, medium format, something. But I'm, you know, I'm the film photography podcast guy downtown here. So like I have to like, you know, play the part when I'm walking around downtown.
Have to be prepared.
Yeah. Like, ooh, what's he carrying today? And then I'll like talk to people with the camera and stuff. So it's fun, but it does get so overwhelming. I wish so bad I was just like, yep, all I have is my Canon AE-1 and I'm just going out. I wish my girlfriend would love me so much more because it takes me 10 hours to leave the house. Yeah. She's just like, it shouldn't take you this long. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And I'm like, I'm getting changed. And actually, I'm like looking at what cameras and film I have with me.
Yeah, it's the worst when you can't decide, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible.
So, Shannon, do you have any like shows coming up or any like books? Are you planning on making books of your work?
I don't have any plans for a book, but I would love to do that eventually down the road.
Yeah.
It would, you know, having things printed is so different. Having something tangible to hold in your hands, it feels so different than viewing your photos on a screen. And a lot of my work, honestly, the biggest I've seen it is just on my computer screen. And when I actually print it, it makes me feel something different than what I felt just seeing it on my screen. So I think having a book would be great to be able to have a bunch of actual printed out photos that people can hold. But yeah, that's not in the plans as of now. But I do have, I'll have some of my photos in a group exhibition coming up in next month in LA.
Oh, cool. And that,
yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. And there's going to be a lot of really, really talented artists that are going to be featured also.
What, you'll have to let us know so that we can plug it for you. Is it soon?
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, it's September 13th and 14th.
Cool.
Oh, that's so soon. That's awesome.
I'll have to check it out. Are you going to be in town for that?
I won't, unfortunately. Okay. I wish I was, but no.
Man, yeah, I could totally see your stuff in a book, though. Mm-hmm. Like, especially with the writing. Like, that would be such a cool concept.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, that would be cool, actually, to have it alongside writing and everything.
Oh, man, that'd be so neat. I mean, even I remember my uncle does a lot of kind of like weddings and video stuff, and he saw that I made like a Blurb book. Like, Blurb is that, you know, online publishing company. It's pretty cheap to just make a book of your photos. And he started getting like his archives made. Like, every month he'll take the photos that he made that month and just send it off and get a little book back. I just feel like even if you aren't like making a book for sale or for, you know, whatever, it's cool to just do, you know, like every 5 or every 6 months or once a year, you know, your 2019 memory book or something like that. Like, just so, you know, you don't have to look at your photos on your phone all the time and or your computer, because that's not fun all the time. I mean, and just like you said, it's such a different feeling when you're holding it and looking at it. And like, especially when it's big, like I have some really big prints that I've done, and I'm just like, this is a completely different photo. I can't, like, my focus is drawn over here now than where it was when, you know, I took it and had it on my computer or Instagram or whatever, you know. But I just feel like it's cool, especially if you ever just want to kind of go through your stuff. Like, I always keep, I've said this a couple times on the show, that I have these like 4x6 photo albums. I always print 4x6 of, I used to print them all, but that's just getting out of hand. Now I print, just like, I'll cherry pick a bunch of them and then put them in these photo albums and go out on my porch and flip through them and look at them or bring them to work with me to show coworkers. And it's just, I'm a big advocate, big, big advocate for printing, especially even if it's just little 4x6s to flip through.
Yeah, I agree.
I wanted to, as I was thinking of like stuff to ask you, Shannon, what inspires you? I really like loved your ghost photos with with like the sheets and stuff. Where did that come from? If you don't mind me picking your brain a little bit.
Yeah, those are, I was really inspired by A Ghost Story. Have you guys seen that, the movie?
No.
No, I've heard of it though. I need to see it.
Yeah, you do. It's really amazing. It's a beautiful film. And the ghost in that movie has, it's really just a person under a sheet.
That they will
put like a literal, you know, play on it. And that inspired me a lot to make similar photos, but also just the idea of a ghost. I can relate to that and that feeling like a ghost and being kind of halfway there and, you know, being in a situation, but feeling like you're maybe not in that situation. I don't know how to say it, but just a kind of lost, roaming type of feeling, and that image of a ghost and the thought of, you know, a ghost just being trapped in an area where they're kind of halfway there. I can relate to that. And I feel like that image is strong to me.
I love that. I was like, there's got to be a deep meaning behind these. They're just like haunting, and I love them.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
That's what she said right before we came in there. She's like, I need one of those ghost prints.
I need one of those ghost prints.
Oh, yes. I would love that.
Do you actually sell a lot of your prints? I know you have a Patreon too, right?
Yeah. Like- yeah, I do have a Patreon. And I have a print shop. You can buy some of my prints. It's hard for me to, I never know what people would want printed.
Right.
And so it's not until someone asks, can I have a print of this photo, that I'm like, you know what, that does make something cool that you could hang on your wall. And so my print shop doesn't have like a ton of options updated in it, but I'm always, always open to printing whatever for anyone.
That's good to know. That's cool.
Yeah.
Running your, it just makes me think all the time, running your photography as a business, like marketing yourself, is like the toughest thing in the world.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Because I always think about that on like my website. People are always like, hey, I need a print of that. And it's like, man, I should open up like a little print shop on my website.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, nobody wants these.
Yeah.
Self-loathing.
Yeah, it's so hard to sell yourself.
It is. It's tough. I just wish there was an easier way, or like I could have a business manager to take care of everything.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have someone else that can talk about you and say,
hey, yeah.
Here's a wonderful photo that you should buy.
Yeah, exactly. Man.
Definitely. That's why I'm so glad that Chris, you do a lot of Instagram stuff for the podcast, and it's like, I am so bad at that stuff. Like, I don't know. Like, I want to be better, and every day I'm like, all right, I'm going to answer those 20 questions I have in my inbox, and I'm going to da-da-da, and then I just, like, you know, watch PewDiePie on YouTube and hang out.
Do got to get back to posting, though.
Yeah, like I said, with, like, my YouTube stuff, I came up with this theory that if I can get 3 completed videos and stay kind of like how we do the show, mm-hmm. you know, like if we have like 2 episodes ahead, it makes it a lot easier to maintain. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if I just keep myself, like I have 1 completed episode of like a just shooting with me episode. I have a what's in my bag, that like an updated version of that. And then an idea for a 3rd video. And it's like, I don't want to release those other 2 videos until I at least started the next video, because I know me. Like, I'll be pumped on it for a week, and then I'll be like, this is so stressful. Why isn't anybody watching this? Like, why did that guy leave that mean comment? Like, it's tough. It's just social media and the pressure of being on all the time is tough. It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough world we live in these days.
It
and
is.
Then you say that, and people are like, whoa, you kids have it so easy. It's like, if you only knew, old man. But I'm trying.
So, Shannon, do you consider yourself more like a photographer or more of an artist?
That's a good question. Yeah. I like that.
That is a good question. I would say an artist, because although right now photography is what I do and I've always been connected with it, if I were to learn another type of art and feel like I can learn it like a tool, use it as an instrument, mm-hmm. I would be just as happy creating art a different way.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And really just photography is what works and what I can use as an instrument and as a tool. But my love is just being able to express myself in some way. So whether that be photography or whatever mm-hmm. it might be, I really just like art.
I love that. Yeah. How often are you creating? Every day, or is it when it?
Every day.
Oh yeah,
really? Yeah, I would say every day. I maybe some days won't mm-hmm. like here and there. There's times where I'll go through stretches where I'm creating every day and I'm making a ton and I'm really into it and motivated and inspired and just going through film like crazy. And then I'll have a stretch for like a month or a few months where I'm just not really inspired by much and not really making as much work. But I would say on average, I mostly create every day. But there's always those times where you just kind of get a little lost and can't really make things as easily.
Oh, yeah. Man, those times are rough too. Like when you're in that mode of nothing feels good kind mm-hmm. of situation. Yeah. I mean, I get in those. I don't know if that's how you feel, but that's kind of how I feel about it. And you said at the beginning that you were into music and stuff too, right?
Yeah.
Didn't you
yes.
say, yeah, like I was in bands when I was younger, and I still kind of tinker around with like making like electronic music. I wouldn't say it's like Skrillex or anything crazy like that, but it's just like ambient melodic stuff, and I find myself falling back on that on moments when like the photography stuff doesn't work, you know. But do you what kind of music stuff were you doing? Were you
I like singing the most, and so I've learned different instruments to just kind of try to back up my singing.
Cool.
Yeah.
So I did piano lessons for a while, and I can play the piano and ukulele and a little bit of guitar, but mainly I like singing, and then whatever I can play easily to go along with my singing that day.
I love the sound of a ukulele. It's like the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have like three of them in my closet.
My boyfriend
I need to blow the dust
too.
Out of them off. Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's easier than guitar, you know, to
four strings. Man.
So Shannon, do you have any like specific film stocks that you go to when you're creating? Like, you know, you want to use this for this type of thing or?
Yeah, definitely.
That's cool.
My favorite film stock is CineStill.
Oh.
And I feel like that has fit my work the best. Mm-hmm. And really, I'll have an idea in my head sometimes of something I want it to look a certain way. And when I, you know, take the photo, I'm imagining it's going to look a certain way. And with CineStill, it almost always looks exactly like wanted it to look.
Do you use both of the stocks, the 50 daylight?
No, actually just the 800.
Yeah,
I have used the 50D, I think just maybe once or twice. But I like the 800T because you can shoot in different types of lighting and it still captures it well.
That makes a lot of sense now that you said that. I'm thinking back on your work. Like, oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I love CineStill. Yeah. But I also love black and white film, too. I think that it has its place and its purpose. And I have been recently more into black and white film, just feeling more kind of sentimental and I feel like it gives that feel and it's different than color film, because color, a lot of the times what stands out to you is the color of
it's
the pretty color, colors. But black and white, you look past that and it's just the image is what stands out to you.
That's a perfect way to describe that.
Yeah.
We were with Natalia, our last week's guest. She does these crazy color, like color darkroom installation things. It's hard to explain without showing you a photo of it. But like I'm a predominant black and white shooter, and it was funny because one of her listener question was, do you ever see yourself like shooting black and white or something like that? And she's just like, well, you know, like for this project, she was more focused in on that project and stuff like that. And I had mentioned that I shoot a lot of black and white because it's cinematic. And she was like, I don't know if that's the right word. It's more of like moody.
Yeah.
And I was like, like it's definitely a mood when you shoot. And I shoot, just like you said, it's like for the timeless aspect of it. You know, it could be 1956 in the photo. It could be 2016.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Like it's, I mean, unless there's like something, a beacon in the photo that's going to be a giveaway of the time.
Right.
But it's there's just something very majestic about black and white and mysterious and it's
Are you shooting CineStill's black and white?
No, I like Tri-X. My favorite black and white film lately is T-Max 3200.
Yeah.
That film
I
is
love
awesome.
That.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. The grain in it is just I love it.
Yeah.
That film's so versatile too.
It really is. Yeah. You can shoot it in the middle of the day. You can shoot it at a venue. I've been doing a lot of that lately.
Yep.
Just so good.
Yes.
So
to think that it was gone for a couple of years and then they brought it back, thankfully.
Yeah. I actually just ordered a 10-pack. Boy, it's not cheap.
No.
But it's,
No.
it's worth it.
Yeah, I seem to favor the expensive film style. Yeah. Right.
Same with Cinesta. Like I every time I go to their website, it's like sold out. We'll have it back soon. And I'm like, no. Yeah. But
I know.
And you're like, should I buy it all? Like spend so much so I'll have it.
Spend all my money on it. Yeah. Or
we'll be right back with a listener question for Shannon right after this message from our sponsor.
Support for Analog Talk also comes from Polaroid Originals. Go to PolaroidOriginals.com and use the offer code AnalogTalk10 at checkout to receive 10% off your next purchase.
All right, guys, this is part of the show where we take a question from one of our listeners. And this question, again, comes from our bud, Chris Visser. He says, your style stands out. I can instantly tell it's a Shannon Tomasek photo in my feed before I see a caption or username. Is your style something you are conscious of when you're creating, or is it just what comes or just what feels natural to you?
I think that a lot of that comes from doing self-portrait work that is just emotionally driven. I really don't have any intentions with creating a certain style or being able to fit my work that I've made before. I think I just do it, and it ends up being the same because it's just something that is from me and from my soul.
I really like that answer, because when you get in the mindset of like, well, it's not my style, so I can't do it, you kind of like get in your own way. You know?
Yeah, definitely. And I've felt that before with things like, well, I don't want to seem like I'm trying to be someone else because it's not really something that I normally do. But when you go into something just with the emotion and trying to create something out of that, I think that it's hard to try to copy anything or try to make it seem like something. And it really just ends up being what it is. And that's it.
Yeah. No, I get that.
Great answer. I love that.
Yeah. And it's tough because, like I was saying, how I shoot black and white all the time. Like when I put a color roll into my camera, I'm just like, now how am I going to pull this off? You know, like, how am I going to, what am I going to do now? And then I look at those photos and I'm like, oh, it looks exactly the same. Like,
if I'm glad you said that, because if you were like, it's different, I'd be like, no, your style is your style. And especially like when you've kind of zoned in on what color stock you like, you know, the Lamont 800, like that is like, your work is definitely your work, no matter if it's color or black and white, I think.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. I almost was like, no.
Yeah, definitely.
Man, so kind of, I know this isn't the user question part or listener question part, but what photographers inspire you? Like what kind of got you inspired? Like, who do you follow? Who are you into right now? Like, what?
I honestly have never really been that good at following other photographers. When I meet certain photographers in person and then connect with their work, then I'll follow them and, you know, and enjoy that. But I'm not really good at doing research and finding different photographers. But I think I don't try to avoid it by any means, but I do try to avoid drawing inspiration from other photographers. Yeah, I think it's better to draw inspiration from other types of art,
right?
Like music or movies or things like that, to where you're not going to copy someone.
Yeah, that is so true. Or like
that's great.
Yeah, for me, it's not like the copying part of it. It's just like I'll let myself get bummed out. Like, man, I wish I was creating that kind of work. And then they get in my head about my own work, and it's like bad news. But I really do. I agree with finding the art, your style or your art in other forms, like music, movies is always something that gets me going. So yeah, I definitely know what you mean.
Yeah,
it's so easy to get caught up in other people's work and then trying to, I feel like I see that a lot online, people getting like worship, not almost like a worshiping aspect of somebody's work, and then you see their work and it's like, oh, that's when I was going through my, you know, whatever
Yeah,
I could see that. Yeah, cool. I just wanted to know if you had any
big... Yeah, good question, Timothy.
Yeah.
So yeah, that brings us to the second half of the listener interactions. And I think you might have already answered this, but what is your desert island camera? Like, you can only take one of your cameras with you. there's a lab, there's unlimited film on this island, but you can only take one for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that would definitely be my Canon AE-1.
Yes,
yeah,
it's a good one.
Yeah. It's classic. It's classic. Yeah. I love it.
It is, yeah.
So then the second half of that question is the white whale camera. Is there a camera that you've seen that you've wanted, that like you really wanted to shoot with that you haven't had the chance to, or it's like out of your price range or something like that, that it's just you kind of lust after in a way?
You know, not really. I wanted a Polaroid for a while. That was one that I really wanted, and I wanted to try to find one and have it, you know, work out, but I couldn't find one at a thrift store that was one that I could actually use. And so I ended up going out and buying one. It wasn't necessarily something that was out of my price range. It was just something that I was hoping I would happen upon.
Right.
And I didn't. But yeah, now that I have that, I don't have anything right now
that's good.
That stands out to me, but I might eventually, maybe once I get tired of that one.
which Polaroid did you get?
I got the new one, actually, the One Step Plus. One Step.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it's a great camera.
And it's really amazing. All of the settings that you can do on it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you must have fun with all the extra.
Oh, yeah.
Like long exposure and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's cool.
And having a self timer and built into that, like with an app and everything, it works out really well.
Yeah, I have mine right where my head is. It's like, oh, yeah.
Wait, right, did you get the Plus, Timothy?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The black Plus. Yeah, nice. Well, of course I did.
I know. What am I saying?
Yeah. Duh. Yeah. I just love it because the film's like $5 cheaper, like $3 cheaper than normal Polaroid film, you know?
Yeah.
It's better for the environment and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
I kind of like that you're like I don't say purist, but like it's just simple so you can just focus on your art, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You
know,
you're not like us where you're getting all crazy over all the things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I'm not very good at being too technical with things. I just like to keep it simple.
It's great.
Yeah, fantastic.
Thanks for joining us, Shannon. We really, this is really cool to talk about all your art and stuff like that. Where can everybody check you out? Where is your socials and website and all that?
On Instagram is where I post probably the most work. And that's just Shannon Tomasik on Instagram. And I have a website, but I don't really update it that much. Mm-hmm. I have my prints on there. And again, my website's just myname.com. But yeah, that's Instagram is really the place to find most of my, and Patreon.
Oh, right.
Yes. Can't forget Patreon. That's been newer for me. And so it's something I'm still getting used to, but I enjoy it. I love being able to share my work on a platform that supports it a lot better than Instagram.
Yeah, that's the best thing about Patreon for like your type of work. You have to censor yourself for there's a lot of stuff going on with Instagram and people, they're just like deleting people's whole accounts. It's just insane.
Yeah, and deleting photos that aren't actually disobeying the rules. Yeah. And
I don't know what they're accomplishing. And I really think it's going to hurt them in the long run, but that's a whole nother podcast episode.
Yeah. Conversation. Yeah, seriously.
Tune in next week for us batching Instagram. Yeah.
I think everyone has something to say about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate for people like you really, you know, have a voice and stuff like that. Anyway, Timothy, where can everybody check you out?
Guys, head over to Instagram. It's at Timothy Make. I also make film photography related YouTube videos. Just go to the search bar, search Timothy.makeups or Timothy Makeups, and you'll find that stuff there. Chris, where are you?
So I am Crispy Photo on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. We are Analog Talk Pod on Twitter, Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram, and we have a Facebook page you can like and a group you can join. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you again, Shannon, for joining us. This has been so awesome chatting with you. We really appreciate
it. Thank you, guys.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.
See you next week.
Bye.
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 First off, we'd like to thank Shannon for being on the show. Shannon, thanks for carving up the time to hang out with us to chat about your awesome Instagram and your beautiful film photos and your Canon AE-1. We had such a blast. It was great getting to know you and hear your story. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. Just like I said at the beginning, we're going to be releasing the show a day early. It's going to be released on Tuesdays. That's for Patreons only. So head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. There's a bunch of other stuff over there. There's a print giveaway, there's buttons, and we're still trying to figure out what's feasible with the live stream. We just, because Chris and I live in two different areas, so it's a little hard for us to figure it out. We're not tech savvy, so we're gonna have to bring a third party in to try to figure this out. But we are working on some awesome new Patreon content for you guys, because we do appreciate every single one of you. We're definitely gonna be posting the shows there on Tuesdays. And we still want to do after shows for you guys, where we kind of do like an extra 30 minutes with the guest. Or also, just leave some suggestions. What do you guys want out of Patreon? So you can shoot us an email, analogtalkpodcast@gmail.com, or shoot us a direct message on Patreon. For the rest of you guys, thanks so much for listening to the show. We appreciate all the ears and all the support. And we will see you guys next week with an all new episode. Cool. Bye.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.